It is good to see you back tonight. We had a good day. Good day in the Lord. You want to hear something horrible?
No.
Good. I mean, I guess it's sobering. It's funny in a way. It's ridiculous in other ways. But Dylan met me out after the dedication and at the church. And good day. Dylan said, I'm going to have a talk with Lucy. Because I didn't personally think she was the problem today. But I said, oh yeah. And he said, yeah. Because she said she's seen you walking up to the car. And she said, there goes Jesus. Yeah, you know, what really shocks me about that is it's very sobering. I mean, it's ridiculous, of course. If anybody's idea of Jesus is me, that's kind of sad. But the idea that you or I or us together are representing Jesus and that's all they see, it really makes you stop and think. You know what I'm saying? How important it is that we remember who we are and who we are ambassadors of. And I know he meant that as a joke, but and I did laugh, but inside I was trembling a little. But it is good to be in God's house. It's good to share life with believers in Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you don't mind, to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and following, as we think about the kind of people that we ought to be as representatives of Christ. Let's read this passage of Scripture and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. By the way, it is good to see you all tonight. I know it would have been one of those nights where it would have been easy just to stay home, but we're going to have 6 months of really bad stuff, so get ready. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and following, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again tonight for your word. We thank you, God, for the privilege of once again coming into your house and spending time studying it together with other believers. Father God, the challenge is always before us as we look at ourselves in the word to see our reflection. And Lord, to respond as we look into that reflection. Your word is like a mirror. Father, and I pray, dear God, that as we look at these things and understand these truths, Lord, that we would understand what manner of people that we ought to be. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege that is ours. Again, we worship you because you're worthy. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and we'll be sure to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Over 2,000 years ago, the Lord came riding into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. He came humbly. He came as a servant. He came for a specific reason, and we know that reason was to die for our sins. He took our place. And friends, I want to tell you, just as sure as Jesus came that first Palm Sunday, he is coming again. Amen. You see, one of the greatest and most fundamental truths that a child of God needs to understand is that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. Now, since Jesus could come at any moment, and since the end of all things is at hand, how should we be leading our daily lives? Now, I have been preaching long enough to know that when you start talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, some people kind of gloss over, and some people even wonder if Peter was confused. Peter wrote this book about 1960 years ago, and he said he was living in the last days at that time. And now, in 2024, I'm preaching that we're living in the last days. Was Peter wrong when he said the end of all things is at hand? Peter was not wrong. In fact, he was absolutely right, because since the filling of the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, we have been living in the time period known as the church age or the last days. Acts chapter 2 verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men, like me, shall dream dreams." Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He has made the worlds." You see, the Bible writers all spoke of these times that we're living in today, and they referred to them as the last days. The reason our time is known as the last days is simply because our Lord could return at any moment. James said, "Behold, the judge standeth at the door." And that really is a picture of the king standing with his hand on the doorknob. Therefore, since that is true, every Christian ought to be living with this continually in their minds. You see, what we need to do is to get it in our hearts that eternity is not something way out yonder in the future. The reality is, eternity is only a trumpet sound away. You say, "Pastor, I really don't think He's coming soon." Well, that's a good sign that He might, because the Bible says, "For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, since Jesus is coming soon, then what should our daily lives be like? What should they look like? Well, I want to draw your attention to several things this evening that ought to be true in my life and ought to be true in your life, and we're going to look at them together, okay? So first of all, number one, we must have a clear mind. In these last days that we're living in, we must have a sober mind. Our thoughts must be orderly. Our thoughts must be on the things of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 7, he said that the end of all things is at hand. "Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." See the word serious there? In other translations, it's sober-minded. That word or that phrase literally means to be clear-minded. Same words used in Mark chapter 5. You remember the man in that passage of Scripture who was possessed of demons? Many demons, the Bible says. Do you remember when Jesus cast out those demons, what their request to Him was? They said, "Send us into the swine." Okay, the swine, Jesus complied. The demons were cast into the swine. In one last act of rebellion, the swine ran down the hill, off the cliff, and into the sea and were drowned. The Bible says that later, that same man was found in town. This same man who was once possessed of many demons was found clothed, and it's the same passage, same language, same verbiage, says they found him clothed and in his right mind. Now, what is Peter saying? Well, what he's saying, I think, is very clear. It's very obvious. Since Jesus is on His way, since that is true, we need to get clear-minded and start thinking seriously about the things of God. Now, I know there are people who are doing a lot of serious thinking today. I mean, there are some people who are very intelligent, but the sad truth is they're not thinking a lot about the things of God. What they're thinking about, what they're focusing on, are things that are temporary and fleeting. Friends, let me tell you that if you don't know that the kingdoms of this world will soon become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, you will not be able to make sense out of everything that is happening. See, technology is not the answer. A lot of people are turning to that. Bigger government is certainly not the answer. Social reform is not going to solve any problems that the world faces today. Do you know what the social reformers remind me of? They remind me of that old expression, I'm sure you've heard it, about the people who are rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's kind of what that reminds me of. This world is in an absolute mess, and the only solution for the problems that we face today is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are told in the Word of God to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Are you praying for the nation of Israel? I mean, are you paying attention to what's going on? You know, our instructions from the Word of God is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know what you're praying for when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? You're praying for the Prince of Peace to return. Because there will not be peace in Jerusalem or anywhere else in this world for that matter until the Prince of Peace returns. So you are to pray for the peace in Jerusalem. I'll tell you something else. All the injustices, all the heartaches, all the sorrows, all the disappointments that you have had to face in this life will all make sense in the light of His second coming. Not until then, but it will all come into focus. You see, when Jesus comes, we're going to be glorified in our bodies. And if you're not clear-minded about the things of God, the devil is going to get you off course, get you thinking thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking, and he will get you discouraged. That's always been his methodology. So if you want to make sense out of it all, then we need to be clear-minded about his second coming. Secondly, as we wait for the return of our Lord, we must have a heart full of love. We must have a full heart. Again, verses 8 and 9, and above all things, have fervent love, fever love, one for another. We talked about this morning a little bit because that's something that is taught and learned in the family and is to be carried over into the church and our neighbors and the people around us. We're to have love. Why? Well, he tells us, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. I had three people tell me today that I was preaching at them. I'm just preaching. I'm doing what God's called me to do. If you don't like me preaching at you, stay out of trouble. Okay? Because that's not what I'm doing. But now, why do you think Peter said above all things, when Jesus comes, he should find us with a heart full of fervent love? Yeah, it's hard to love, isn't it? Sometimes. Can I get an amen? Can we just be honest? I mean, some people are easy to love. Some people aren't so easy to love. I'm probably one of them that's not so easy to love. But we have been commanded to love, and it is one of the most neglected commands in Scripture. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, why is it important to have fervent love in our hearts in light of the second coming? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, in the last days, iniquity shall abound. You remember the rest of the verse? And the love of many will wax cold. Be straight with yourself tonight, folks. What do you see on every news media, every medium there is out there? What do you see in your community? What do you see in your place of work? What do you see in so many families today? Be straight now. What we see is abounding iniquity. You see, I don't care where you go. There is plenty of sin per square mile. And it has caused our society to become cold and indifferent. We're afraid to trust. We are afraid to reach out. We're afraid to show compassion. And what Peter is saying is, don't let this happen to you. In the last days, don't let the devil convince you to stop loving. Now, why is it so important that we have a heart full of love? Well, Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Verses like this teach us the greatest way for the church to communicate the gospel of Christ is for word to start to spread that we sincerely love one another and people to see it demonstrated. They don't care how good you are at rule keeping. They don't care how much scripture you have memorized. They don't care if you have a mind full of scripture that you have saturated your heart with. That doesn't mean a lot to them. It's an important thing, right? But if you don't have a heart full of love, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said you can have all of these things, and all it is a bunch of useless noise. Now, that's not me, that's Paul. Paul said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, read it for yourself. There's another reason it's important to have a heart full of love, and that's because it is the motivation of all that we do. Why do we do what we do? What causes us to live faithfully to the Lord? What motivates us to give sacrificially? What causes you and I to be faithful to the local church? What causes us to be faithful to the Word of God? What is it? For the love of Christ constrains or compels us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, folks, it is the love that keeps us going when we want to quit. And I know you've been there. Let me tell you perhaps the greatest reason why our hearts should be filled with love and as we wait for the Lord from heaven. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Second part of that verse says, love will cover a multitude of sins. That's such an important verse. Let me tell you what the favorite pastime of many who have infiltrated the church today. There are those who find great pleasure in finding the faults in other people's lives and exposing it while completely ignoring their own. I think in many cases these people honestly believe that pointing out what's wrong in other people's lives is their God-given anointed gift. Friends, finding the faults in others is so easy to do. It is so easy. And to point it out to others, can I just say, it's not love. That is not love. Love covers sin. That's what it says. Love wishes it never happened. Now, I'm not saying that we somehow overlook sin or condone sin. We deal with sin and we do it in love. And that love, coupled with the blood of Jesus Christ, becomes a covering. That's what the Word of God teaches. And I want to tell you that the church of Jesus Christ needs a little more love. And if you have a heart that is harboring bitterness and resentment, you need to repent of that and you need to come to Jesus for healing. It's so vital. So first of all, as we wait for Jesus in the last days, we need to have a clear mind. We need to have the mind of Christ. Secondly, we need to wait with a full heart. Thirdly, we must wait with our hands in the work. Now, this passage of Scripture basically outlines itself. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 4 again, verses 10 and 11, he says this, and this is the third point. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen, church, the end of all things is near. And if you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon, you're going to start using your spiritual gifts and abilities to bring people to Jesus Christ. It's going to be preeminent in your life above everything else. If you're saved, then God has given you a grace gift, and you are to be a steward of that gift. In other words, you're going to give an account for what you did with that gift someday. Therefore, if you have a speaking gift, then you speak as the oracles of God. If you have a serving gift, then serve with the ability with which God supplieth. If you try to serve the Lord in your own strength, when Jesus comes, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be burned up. But when we speak as the oracles of God, and when we serve with the ability that God gives us, then the work of Christ will catch fire, and this church and this community will be ablaze with revival fire.
Amen.
Friend, this is how it works, and that's the way the church pleases God, and that's the way we wait for our Lord from heaven. I believe, like many of you believe, the next big event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church and then the second coming. Jesus Christ right now is preparing to return for His children, and you and I are in the planning stages. We are deciding, as we plan for the future, where we want to spend eternity. Right now, we are enjoying an open window of opportunity. The window one day will close and we will no longer have that option of deciding. You see, when Jesus comes back, if you're prepared and you've made Jesus Christ your Lord, then you're ready. If you haven't made that choice, the Bible teaches us, then it will be too late. Just like the door on the ark was closed. So now is the time to prepare. And maybe some of you are thinking, you know, you've been in church a long time, and you're thinking, I've heard all this before. And you probably have. I've preached it before. I'm not the only one. Preachers all over the kingdom have preached this. We've preached it a lot, and we've preached it for a long time. But do you remember those fire drills in school? Remember those? In kindergarten, the first time you heard a fire drill go off, you know, four or five kids cried. You know, a couple of them wet their pants. And a couple of them went screaming out into the hallway. You remember that? I mean, it was horrifying. I mean, then we took it seriously, right? Because we didn't know that maybe it was a real thing. But what happens when you get in junior high? After all of those fire drills, and after all of those warnings, and after all of those rehearsals, after all of those practice sessions, and nothing ever happened. When you hear that bell go off, no one gets all that excited. We have heard the message of the second coming so many times that we don't get all that excited, and we don't take it all that seriously. But friends, it may be today, and you need to be ready. You want to know why it ought to be our goal to stay in the work until Jesus comes? Well, the answer to that is found in verse 11, and I'll be finished. In verse 11, the Bible says that God in all things might be glorified. That's what it's all about, church. The glory of God. And when Jesus comes, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I want to be found bringing glory to His name.
Yeah.
And so here's my question. Here's my question, and I'm done. Okay? How will Christ find you? If Jesus was to return right now, how will Christ find you? Because the absolute truth of Scripture is that 15 seconds from now, we can stand face to face with the King of Kings. Are you ready to do that? Do you have a heart full of love? Are your hands in the work? Are you clear-minded? All those things are challenging, and I'm not making my, and I certainly am not holding myself up as a grand example. All of these things that I say and I read from the Word of God and I preach in the power of God, I got a face too. So how will Christ find you? That challenges me. I hope it challenges you, and I hope you're ready when Jesus comes. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in a word of prayer. And as always, you know, I want you to take it serious. I know we do it often. We do it every time we close a message because it's that important. But we're going to have a time of decision. And if you have a decision to make, a prayer to pray, this altar is open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege, Father, of coming under your word and Lord, really being challenged by it, being confronted and being encouraged, God, to do things that would please you. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that these things that we talked about are not just difficult, they're impossible unless we let you do them in us and through us. So, Father, as always, we pray that you would help us to lay self aside. Father, that we would, Lord, allow your Spirit to work in us to do these things. We pray, dear God, that our hearts would be prepared to meet you. We pray, dear God, and we long for the day when the one that we have known in our hearts we will see face to face. Heavenly Father, there's none of us that deserve your mercy and grace. But we're thankful, Lord God, that it is available. And we're thankful, Lord God, that we live in this time where all we have to do is come to you in repentance and faith, and you will not turn us away. Father, help us to understand the gift that is ours. Help us to understand the privilege that is ours, and help us to understand the responsibility that is ours as we wait for the King from heaven. We love you, Lord. We ask you to bless this time of decision, and we'll be sure to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.